Hi everyone, welcome to episode 21 of Tea in the Treetops podcast.
This is the official podcast of the Tea in the Treetops book review blog. I'm Philippa and with me is Angela. And today is Wednesday, February 18th, 2015.
Today we're going to talk about all things fairy tales. We've got a joint review of Monstrous by Marcy Kate Connolly. And also we're going to talk about some fairy tale remakes that have been coming out in the movies, mostly by Disney.
All by Disney, let's be real.
Are they? I think they all are.
Into the Woods is Disney too, so yeah.
Okay, all by Disney. And we've got some fairy tale retelling books to talk about and also some kids stuff relating to fairy tales too. And we're going to discuss what we've been reading and what we've got coming up. So shall we get stuck into a joint review?
Sure.
So this is going to be a bit of a weird joint review because you haven't actually finished reading
it. Yeah, my disclaimer is I haven't finished it and I am verging. I'm trying, I really am, but it could be a do not finish. So,
oh, that's very sad.
So anyway, just when I talk about it, remember that I haven't actually got to the end.
Yeah, okay. So
should we start with a synopsis? Or?
Yep. Do you want to read it?
Sure. The city of Briar suffers under the magic of an evil wizard. Because of his curse, girls sicken and disappear without a trace, and Briar's inhabitants live in fear. No one is allowed outside after dark. Yet night is the only time that Kimura can enter this dangerous city, for she must not be seen by humans. Her father says they would not understand her wings, the bolts in her neck, or her spiky tail. They would kill her. They would not understand that she was created for a purpose, to rescue the girls of Briar. Despite her caution, a boy named Ren sees Kim and begins to leave a perfect red rose for her every evening. As they become friends, Kim learns that Ren knows about the missing girls, the wizard, and the evil magic that haunts Briar. And what he knows will change Kim's life.
So it's a, basically, I think that's a pretty good sort of summary of what it's about. There's a evil wizard in the town. Kimera is, as her name implies, a chimera. She's made up of different pieces of other creatures.
Yep.
So she's got wings. What else has she got? She's got a long tail.
Yes, that can put people to sleep.
That barb in the end that she can sting people with. And patchwork skin.
It's very much Mary Shelley's Frankenstein. It's funny because I remember when I first requested this book, I was like, oh, this is fairy tales, exciting. I was thinking Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah.
But then I started reading it and I'm like, hang on a minute.
It looked creepy.
Hang on a minute. It's a great cover. I love the cover with the sort of manga feel about it. But then I started reading and I was like, this isn't a fairy tale. This is Frankenstein.
Yeah.
And I know this is really shallow, but I think that's kind of what put me off. I think I was thinking I was going in with a certain way, and let's be real, it could turn out to be more fairy tale-ish, but I really have felt so far that it's...
How far in are you?
I think I'm like 38% or something
like that. Oh, okay, so you haven't got too far at all. Okay,
no, well, but it's very much a...
All right, well, I'll describe a little bit about what is going on, and you...
I could take some guesses about what I think is going to happen.
So I'll try not to be spoilery, but the beginning of the book is quite slow. And once you get into the actual story, the action of the story, which I think is probably past halfway, it picks up a lot and it's more fairy tale towards the end.
Okay.
So
please tell me those poor girls she's rescuing aren't just being slaughtered. my gut instinct is they're being slaughtered, to the wonderful place of Belladonna.
So the idea is that her father, who created her, is they live off in the forest, and she has to stay hidden from other people, from humans,
because she's a hideous monster.
Because she's a monster.
I'm sorry, but let's be real here.
And she's a little girl, like she's like 13, 14 years old. Sorry, not little girl, but you know,
a girl. Oh, I thought she was a bit older than that. Okay.
No. Her father tells her that the wizard has put a curse on the people of the town. The girls in the town are getting sick. They're forced to go and stay in this hospital. And the wizard steals them and keeps them in the prison. And it's Kim's job to save the girls. And
from the prison.
From the prison. And take them, and they send them away to a place far away where it's safe.
Called Belladonna.
Yeah, which is supposed to be a beautiful city where they're going to be safe and looked after.
Cool, Belladonna. And so, like, how evil a name can you get?
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry.
So Anyway, it does seem to me as I was reading it that she was a little bit, because she wakes up and she doesn't have any memories of, like, she's just been reanimated basically from all her corpse bits. She doesn't have any memory of who she is. So she's basically starting off as a child anyway. Like, she's very childlike. She loves her father. Everything her father does is right. Her father
cannot do anything wrong, which makes me think her father is really bad. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and it was pretty obvious right from the start that I thought that he was going to turn out to be the baddie.
I thought that was just my gut. So I was hoping is that the father is the wizard, and you can tell me or not tell me, I don't care. But my guess is the father is the wizard, and she's getting the girls for the father, which is exactly what he said was happening. She's just doing it.
Anyway. I'm trying not to spoil it anything, but the main thing that I thought at the start, I was really worried that it was like that, and I thought that was what was happening, and that because she was so childlike, she was just blindly putting her faith in her parents, or who she thought was her parent.
Oh, God, and don't tell me that they're not even related.
It was so heartbreaking that that she was just doing as he said, and she thought she was doing the right thing the whole time. She thought she was rescuing these girls to take them away to be safe, and it turns out that she's actually, you know, the baddie in the whole thing. But anyway,
I think she's a princess. That's the only other thing. I don't know. Look, I'm making a lot of assumptions, but I reckon I'm pretty close to the money.
How far close to spoilers do we want to go here?
It's up to you. No, don't. I am still trying to read it. And I'm sorry, what are with the chicken goats?
Because her father is like this expert at reanimating creating creatures. They do have chicken goats. That's a bit weird.
That kill humans.
No, well, they attack chicken goats.
God.
Anyway,
it's a very
creepy
book.
I just thought at the start, this is so creepy. But anyway, it got better as it went along in terms of it lost its creepiness and began feeling a bit more like a normal fairy tale. So are you up to the bit where she actually meets Ren and speaks
to him? She's met Ren. She's met her other friend, the rock dragon.
Right, yeah, okay. So the dragon's a kind of weird character because he's not really in it much.
Oh, that's a pity because that's so far been the highlight of the book.
Yeah, I quite liked the dragon, and I was hoping there'd be more dragon later. But
I was hoping the dragon was going to clue in pretty quickly, being a wise being.
Yeah,
as to what was going on.
She pretty much in the end figures everything out for herself, but I won't spoil too much.
You think stick with it?
Well, stick with it for a bit longer and see if you think it picks up once you get after sort of 50-60% mark.
Okay.
And if you don't want to finish it, then that's fine.
It's not that the writing is bad. I don't think the writing is bad. The blindness on her behalf is getting to me.
It's very... that's why I felt it was so long, because there was just parts in it where all she was doing was saying, my father is right, he knows what he's doing, I'm doing the right thing. And she
just follows it blindly. And as soon as she started following that blindly, I was like, the father's a bad dude. I'm sorry.
She spends a lot of time monologuing.
Her father's friends she doesn't like either, which made me think, you're a dodge man. But so far, I feel it's more Frankenmonster than anything fairy tale.
Yeah, it's a very dark fairy tale-like.
Okay, all right. I'll see how I'm going at 50%.
The thing that I didn't like so much about the story is that it is very, all the way through she says to herself, I'm a monster, I'm the monster, I'm wrong, there's something wrong with me. And even after she gets her friends, like the dragon and the friends in town, when everyone finds out who she is and what has happened to her, no one actually says to her, you're not the monster, you're a girl who's been hard done by or whatever. No one comforts her. There's no one to tell her.
Compassion and
there's no one to say, you're not a monster, you're just a person like the rest of us.
I think she's a princess. Spoilers. Don't spoil. And it's not a spoiler when I don't actually know. As far as I'm concerned.
Well, you can report back next week. No, you can't, because we don't want to spoil everybody else.
No.
Anyway, that was a major thing for me. I just thought, you're not a monster, you're okay, don't be so upset, you're only 13 years old, you know, you've got
13-year-olds are hormonal teenagers, so maybe it's part of that. I know, but
they need someone to tell them that they're special.
What about her buddy Ren, who I'm assuming is her love interest? Well, surely he's going to tell her otherwise. No, don't tell me. It could spoil.
I'm not going to tell you anymore.
Okay.
But anyway, if this has piqued your interest, it's out on February 10th, so it's already out.
Yeah.
It's published by HarperCollins Children's, and get a copy.
The cover's gorgeous.
It is a really cute cover, or cute as in, like, you know, it's a little anime type little girl.
See, it looks like Red Riding Hood on the cover too, and I think that was
always wears a cloak when she goes anywhere to hide her wings.
It doesn't remind me of the Red Riding Hood fairy tale, and I think this is part of it. I think I feel like I got cheated. I think the cover did not match the story.
Okay.
Anyway.
Well, it does turn into a bit more of a fairy tale later on, but...
Yes.
Okay. So, see what you think.
So, I'm not rating this book. I don't feel like I can because I haven't actually finished it yet. How did you rate it?
I gave it 4 stars. I liked it. It was a little bit... It was quite sad at times. Heartbreaking, especially because she thought... Her life was one way. She thought everything was fine, and then turned out everything was wrong. And that was really sad in a children's story.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's definitely for older. It's so supposed to be middle grade, but
I would say so far this is young adult.
Yeah, I wouldn't be letting little kids read it. It's pretty dark. Okay. People die in gruesome ways, I think.
Hey, look, people die in Disney movies too.
Yeah, but there's never any sort of detail, is there?
Okay.
I don't think there's detail in this either, but people are, like, dead people are kept in the freezer and stuff, which is a bit gruesome.
Sorry, I know we were about to finish this, but I would, maybe it's as an adult reading it, I'm taking darker things out of this than somebody young
that's
wouldn't.
True.
Because, like, when the girls escape, I was like, they're so being killed on purpose. Yeah. But I could be wrong, and that could just be my life experience, you know, impressioning.
Well, they also said they were being sold into slavery at one point, and I was like, oh my goodness. God, that's even worse. Anyway.
I personally wouldn't let a 13-year-old read it. I would wait till they were older.
I don't think so. But then again, they do say that you shouldn't keep books from your children because they take away different things from them than we do. So
That's true.
Anyway, so I was creeped out by
it. Let us know. If you've read it, let us know what you think. Tell me, should I continue with this book or not?
Yeah, it actually is quite long. On Goodreads it says it's over 400 pages, which I'm a bit surprised. I didn't think it was that long.
That's long for a middle grade.
Yeah. Anyway, that's that one.
So on to other fairy tales.
Other fairy tales. We have, shall we talk about the movies first?
Well, I was going to say... Like, I don't know if part of the reason why I struggled with Monstrous was because I read another fairy tale retelling literally right before starting Monstrous.
Oh, yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And that's the book 2 of the Sarah Cross series. So it's called Tear You Apart.
Yeah.
The first one was called Kill Me Softly and came out in 2012. So there's been quite a large gap between books, which isn't a bad thing. It was actually one of the very first books I ever reviewed, one of my first approvals on NetGully. And I really enjoyed Kill Me Softly too. So Kill Me Softly was a Sleeping Beauty retelling.
Mm-hmm.
And Tear You Apart is a Snow White retelling. Now, Snow White's never been my favourite or a favourite fairy tale of mine. I've always been a Sleeping Beauty, Beauty and the Beast fan.
Right, yeah.
But I really like this. Like, I just really like this world. It's really twisted, but it's twisted in a really good way because it's kind of like Once Upon a Time, a TV show, in the fact that all these fairy tales and fairy tale people are living in a normal town.
Yeah.
It's not cut off from the rest of the world. There are normal humans apparently in there too, but you don't really hear much about them.
Okay.
But it reminds me of like a slummy, sleazy Vegas style town for some reason. Whether or not it actually is, it just really gives me that impression. Yeah. And basically, if you're part of a fairy tale, you're born with a curse because these fairy tales keep reliving themselves over and over again. So a little girl that's born into this town... Like they're all through genetics. Like, so it's, you can't just randomly get this Your family's got a bit of fairy blood, which makes you part of this curse chain. So if a little girl is born with like an apple birthmark, well then you know she's part of the Snow White curse, and she could either be Snow White or she could be the evil stepmother. You just don't know. Though apparently most of these people can generally tell who they're going to be based on who else has been born and and all the rest of it. But some people don't get their birthmarks straight away. Some people it appears later on in life. And I just love tear you apart. So you knew the characters briefly from book one, Kill Me Softly, because you were introduced to them, but they weren't large. They weren't major characters. You just knew sort of a brief, you know, bit about their curses and their twisted lives. And
so could you read this book without
You could read it completely separately.
Okay.
I think it is better to have read it. You don't have to read in order, though. Like, you could have read this one and then go, oh, I like this. I'm going to go back and read the first one.
Okay, yep.
But it probably would be smoother to read them in order, though it's not a necessity. But I just love the whole twist in this one was... Snow White was actually Vivian, it's the girl's name.
Mm-hmm.
She actually fell in love, and like her best friend in the whole wide world ends up getting the Huntsman curse. So even though they were together forever, she knew that this guy was going to either take her heart or kill her. She just didn't know, and she didn't know when it was going to happen. Yeah. And so she's constantly in fear, and it's just, I don't know, it's just really good, and it's not just a fluffy Disney version of these, like these stories. They're really like hardcore, grim versions of these stories.
Right,
like,
okay, yeah,
and
yeah.
Every time the curse plays out, it could be completely different. So, you know, you just have to fulfill the curse. You just know that in some way the curse has to be fulfilled. But like the previous Snow White, because there's never more than one Snow White, for example. On the go,
yep.
Like, so once the curse has been fulfilled, another generation will get born into it. But the previous Snow White had like the handsome prince actually has like a necrophilia type thing. So the fact that she was alive but still was what drew him to Snow White, and then he keeps Snow White drugs. Like, that's creepy. But like, that's what I mean. It still fulfills the curse. And like a lot of them, like it's very twisted, but it's
so
very
good. Is this a YA thing? Or
it is a YA. It's definitely not middle grade. It's definitely YA.
No, I mean as opposed to adult. Like,
does it it's not adult. It's definitely YA.
Okay.
But yeah, look, there's been a lot of people not so sure about this. I really like them. I really want to get my hands on. I didn't realize that in the last 3 years between writing the two books, she's written two short stories, one on Cinderella and one on Snow White and Red Rose, which I haven't ever heard of as a separate fairy tale, but that's another short story. So I'm going to have to try and get my hands on them and read them.
Yep.
In any case, I gave that one 4 stars. I think I gave Kill Me Softly 4 stars as well. I really liked it. So if you're wanting a different fairy tale, because it's not they're not very popular for some reason. Like there aren't many reviews on Goodreads, but I think they're really underrated.
Well, it sort of sounds a bit like I'll digress a little bit. I've been listening to a podcast which is still reasonably new. They've only got a few episodes. It's called Khaleesi's and Amazons. Hi, Nick and Mia. And they do some great discussions on different topics to do with fantasy books and like comic books and everything as well, and the films too. So they had a fairy tale episode. Their episode 3 was about all about fairy tales, and they talked about Grimm fairy tales and some other like the Lunar Chronicles.
Oh yeah,
and fairy tale retelling. So it's similar to what we're talking about today, actually.
Yeah.
But so if you're looking for and they're also Aussies.
Mm-hmm.
Looking for a new podcast to listen to, I recommend that. The Khaleesi's and Amazons.com is their website. But they, as a recommendation from that episode, I requested the library copy of Fables comic book. Basically, it's like a graphic novel.
Yep.
In the library classification.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually book two. This is second book. I requested book one, but it hasn't come in, so I don't know. I figured I could probably read book two without too much trouble, and I can. I did. This one's called Animal Farm. So basically, what the story is that all the fairy tale characters are living in New York in modern day,
mm-hmm.
and they live in one big apartment block,
okay.
which is called Fable Town.
Okay.
And they've got like a full-on society in this apartment block. But I haven't read the first one, so I'm not sure about too much about the actual Fable Town itself. But the animals that are involved in the fairy tales actually live in upstate New York on a farm.
Okay.
And so all the animals, like the three little pigs, the foxes.
The big bad wolf?
No, the big bad wolf was actually like a human guy who lives in New York. But
the three little pigs look like they're featuring heavily in this.
Yeah, they're like Shere Khan from Jungle Book. So it's not just normal fairy tales, it's like all kind of stories and whatever as well, I think. And there's you know, Puss in Boots.
Oh, loads of different... rabbit from Peter Rabbit or something else.
I think there's Brer Rabbit. Okay. There's dragons, there's giants, all sorts of things. Anyway, they live on this farm, and there's it's actually like quite adult, like
well, it's in the adult graphic novel section.
Yeah, so they're having like this big coup there because they're not allowed to leave the farm because they're
second class citizens, basically.
Yeah, basically. So they're like, okay, we're gonna leave the rule of the evil humans and we're gonna do our own thing. So these people, well, some of them get killed and blah blah. But anyway, it's a really good story. I don't know if I
looks quite dark.
I haven't read a lot of graphic novels, but yeah, it is pretty dark. But yeah, I enjoyed this one. If I end up getting the first book, I'll read that one. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, I don't know, something a bit different.
Yep.
So yeah, if you're interested in an aside, more fairy tale discussions, go and listen to that episode of Khaleesi's and Amazons. It's good.
Excellent.
I enjoyed it. So okay, so we're going to go on to. Shall we talk about the other books that we've got here?
Yes. Well, I can see that you requested and obviously were approved for a copy of Crimson Bound by Rosamund Hodge.
Yep.
Of which I read the first book I read her debut novel, Cruel Beauty, and have to admit I wasn't a particularly big fan. That was Beauty and the Beast retelling.
Yep, okay.
So I never went and requested that one, but you said this one's not part of a series? It's separate?
No, it says it's standalone.
Okay.
So. Well, at least it's not set in the same universe as the other one. So this one's Little Red Riding Hood retelling. Look, so it's not coming out till May, but...
Yeah, a lot of people liked Cruel Beauty. There was something about it that, I don't know, I found it really cold and hard to get into.
Okay.
But a lot of people thought the writing was beautiful.
Yep.
Yeah. So hopefully you like it. You'll have to tell me if it's good. Maybe I should have given it a shot.
Yeah.
And then there's Ferris, which neither of us have read because we're completely... swamped.
Yeah, I actually have a copy of it now.
So
I requested it from the library. I've got a copy of it there, so I'll read it at some point.
I've been looking forward to that book. I'm really annoyed with myself that I haven't read it yet.
That's like a Lunar Chronicles book that's comes between or before it's the prequel. Final.
Yeah,
it's a prequel. It's before all of them, but it's getting ready for the release of Winter later this year.
If you haven't read that series and you are in any way inclined towards fairy tales, you're crazy. Go and pick it up.
Yeah, go and read it.
It's just so good. Like, we read book one for our book club.
Yep.
And you know what? We've got some pretty eclectic tastes in our book club, but we've got quite a few that are pretty anti-science fiction fantasy, really. Let's be real here. And even some of those really liked it and went on and read the rest of the series.
Yeah,
that is how good it is.
When they saw it was about cyborgs and stuff, they were like, oh, no, what's this? But then
they really loved it. So there you go.
And, yeah, I just really loved the way that she writes. So,
me too.
Great stuff.
Hopefully we'll have read that by next podcast, maybe. We'll see.
Yeah, it's on the list. I keep shoving books in between other books in my list. But anyway. So the other thing we've got coming out soon is, so I wanted to mention Kate Forsyth, who's an Australian author. She lives in Sydney, I believe. She has written loads of fantasy books over the years, but more recently she's been working on some fairy tale type books.
Yep.
So she...
With beautiful covers, that's all I know.
Yeah, they do, covers. Yeah. She... A couple of years ago, she released Bitter Greens, which is about Rapunzel,
mm-hmm.
Rapunzel retelling. And that is an amazing book. Like, if you want to read a great fairy tale retelling, then that I really loved that one. It was fantastic.
To really, I don't know. I find that story just not the best of stories.
Rapunzel story?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Except for Tangled. I love Tangled.
Yeah, I love Tangled. Tangled's like my favourite fairy tale movie ever. One of my favourites. But anyway, that's another story. Well, we'll talk about that later when we're talking about movies. And then, okay, so then she wrote... So the back to Bitter Greens. It's like a dual kind of story. So half the story is actual Rapunzel telling.
Yep.
And then there's this kind of historical feeling of a lady in... test my memory. I think she's in Venice.
Okay.
Or she's somewhere in Italy.
That's a bit different.
And she's telling the story to somebody else. Now, I can't remember, so just forget I said all that because I don't remember the details. But it's not all Rapunzel. There's part of it is it's like a historical thing as well.
Mm-hmm.
And witches and magic and stuff. It's really, really awesome. I'm obviously not very well prepared for this anyway. So the other book that she wrote that was called The Wild Girl, which... I think was out in 2013 maybe. It's about the Grimm brothers themselves and how they collected the stories. So they lived in Hessen, I think, in Germany, just before the Napoleonic Wars.
Okay.
There's war coming anyway, and it's about the girl who lived next door to them. It's called Dortchen Wild, and she... helped them to collect all of the stories and told them some of the stories. Well, that's what is sort of surmised about her role in it. No one really knows because no one wrote anything down about her, and she's very quiet in the whole, like, there's no history about her at all. But we do know that she did fall in love with one of the Grimm brothers, and they got married eventually.
Okay.
So, she's... I don't remember which one it was, but one of the brothers... they got married, and she told them a lot of stories.
Right? Yeah.
Oh, there's more than two of them, but two of them were the main ones who wrote the stories. So if you're interested in... That's more of a historical, but it also has a lot of the fairy tales in it as well, as just being told as part of the story. Now, Kay Forsyth also has another one coming out very soon, which is called The Beast's Garden, which is a Beauty and the Beast retelling, but set in Nazi Germany.
Oh.
So it's more based on the original... Grimm version, which has Belle, or not her name may not be Belle in the original, I don't know, but the girl marries a man who is a beast in order to get her father out of a debt that a troubled situation. Yep, yep, yep. So it's not literally a beast, it's just a man who is not ideal.
He's seen as a beast.
And that's set in Nazi Germany setting in this particular one. So that's coming out in May, and I've seen from her Facebook page that I followed that she's actually just finished the sort of last draft of that, so she's just submitted it for editing and publication. So hopefully that will be definitely out. It says May in Goodreads, but that may not be the final date. I don't know, but so I don't know. I'm looking forward to reading it, but at the same time I'm not, because I know The Wild Girl, because it had like a partly wartime setting, was a really sad book. It was very difficult to read in some ways, and I imagine that The Beast Garden is probably going to be similar, but she does have a really beautiful writing style, and
that's an adult series, right?
Yes, young adult. Definitely.
Yeah. Okay.
It's got some quite difficult topic, like, you know, subject material.
Sure.
So shall we move on to films?
I think so. So one of the reasons we decided to start this whole fairy tale episode was because I'm so excited about Cinderella coming out in I think it's about 3 weeks now.
Yep.
I can't wait to take my 4-year-old daughter to it, who is a fan of all things Disney princess. So I'm hoping, I didn't take her to see Maleficent because I thought that was a bit of a dark one.
Yeah, it is.
And she doesn't like the scary witches. That's what she calls any of the bad guys in Disney movies. So
to be fair, most of them are witches.
Yeah, when we watch Sleeping Beauty, the cartoon version, she doesn't like Maleficent. She sees her as very scary and closes her eyes.
Scary.
And Snow White's been kicked off too because of the evil stepmother. Anyway, so Cinderella, yes, she has a bad stepmother, but I think it's maybe a little bit more of a lighter, brighter story.
Well, she's not an evil witch or anything. She's just a
woman. In the original fairy tale, it's pretty full on and pretty gruesome with the sawing of the feet and everything.
But, oh, yeah.
But I don't believe the Disney remake will have anything like that.
No, I'm pretty much expecting it to be exactly like the cartoon version.
Well, that's what I loved about...
Except for the singing birds and stuff. I
will say, with Maleficent, I hadn't re-seen the Disney version of Sleeping Beauty recently.
Yeah.
And I thought it was okay. But then when I actually got my hands on Sleeping Beauty and I watched it with my daughter, I was like, this was really done very well because they really stuck incredibly truly to the original storyline, just from a different perspective.
So yeah, I had thought that when we were watching it in the cinema. I was like, that is pretty much word for word from
it is. They were really the authentic version to the cartoon. And I'm really hoping they do the same with Cinderella.
Yeah. Is it by the same... like director and that sort of thing?
I have no idea. I think Kenneth Branagh is the director for Cinderella. I don't know who directed Maleficent. But in any case, I'm just so excited. The second I saw the teaser trailer of the glass slipper, Cinderella's not even one of my favourite fairy tales, but it's still... there's something about it that's just...
It's a great story.
It is. It's a universal story.
I even read it to my... I read that we've got the Disney version of the... book format kind of thing. I read that to my almost 4-year-old boy recently, and he don't know if he liked the sort of girly kind of bits, but he did like the story. Mm. So hopefully we can take him to the movie as well.
Yep.
We'll enjoy it.
I think so. And then I think the other reason that it's extra exciting is they've just recently announced that Emma Watson's going to play Belle in Beauty and the Beast because they're doing a live-action version of that for a 2016 release. Now, Emma Watson's copped a lot of flack on social media as not being perfect for the role.
Oh, really?
I just don't get it. I could not think of a better person. Yeah. I really couldn't. Like, yes, they might have got a more unknown actor just to let them really build up that brand, I guess,
is it going to be a musical? Like, is it...
I don't know. There was the songs, but there wasn't really in Maleficent, were there?
No, I'm just trying to remember whether they had any songs in it
but
at all.
They definitely had the theme song running through the story, as in, like, the music.
Well, Sleeping Beauty...
That song is just beautiful.
It's Sleeping Beauty Waltz, anyway. It's like, that's a real thing.
But Cinderella's got a very similar song, A Dream is a Wish Your Heart Makes. Yeah. Sadly, I know that one off by heart too. But I'm assuming it will be same. I don't think any of the actors are going to do the singing. I think it will just be, like, music in the background.
Beauty and the Beast music is, like, one of my favourite soundtracks.
It is just gorgeous.
It's up there with, like, Aladdin. And
it is just fantastic.
Little Mermaid.
I loved it. Yeah, so, it's one of my all-time favourite songs, too. Like, well, there's two. There's just a reprise of the opening track of that Belle sings, the first track about how she's in this provincial life. I don't actually like that song, but there's a reprise of it, and that is just beautiful. Anyway, that's me gushing about music enough.
Yep.
Sorry.
No, the music from the Disney, like, cartoon, like,
they've got it down pat. There's no question about it.
Now I've forgotten the guy's name. Let me quickly look up because I have to. It's all by the same guy.
All of them or most of them?
A lot of them. Okay. Let me just check.
Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast and Lion King, they all came out very close together and their music is just brilliant.
Yeah.
Like Circle of Life has got to be up there with one of the best songs. Like seeing that.
Oh, yeah.
Seeing Circle of Life in the actual musical production, that was just phenomenal.
It gives me goosebumps every time. Alan Menken. I had Menken in my head, but I couldn't think. And Tim Rice did a lot of the lyrics.
They're duos, are they?
So they did Aladdin, Beauty and the Beast.
Tangled.
Hercules.
Caitlin loves that song.
Aladdin, Little Mermaid.
Go for Distance. Said
that. Beauty and the Beast. Little Shop of Horrors. anyway, they wrote a lot of those big kind of productions. And, I love it.
Hmm. So anyway, what do you think of Emma Watson? Do you thought she was good too?
Yeah, I think she'd be great at it. I mean, she's just the right type of bookish person to be, Belle. So
Belle is my favourite Disney princess. And if you're wondering, when you have a 4-year-old child, you get asked about who your favourite Disney princess is a lot. Caitlin's favourite Disney princess changes on a daily
basis. Oh, you mean it's not one of
it's
the Frozen
It's not always
girls,
Elsa. No, often it's Ariel.
Yeah.
Recently, even though she will not sit and watch Aladdin, but she likes Jasmine. But okay. She doesn't watch Aladdin. She just likes Jasmine. I don't get it.
I love Aladdin.
She likes Rapunzel. She likes them all, but it, depending on the day you ask her, is a day that she, like, you know, you couldn't buy her a Disney princess doll knowing for sure it was her favourite.
Yeah, because yeah.
It could have been her favourite the day you bought it, but the next day when you give it to her, it won't be. So, yes. But Belle is my favourite Disney princess.
Right, okay. I'm not sure I'd be ready to commit to that, like, to any one of them. I do love Belle. I think she's great. But
I've always loved the Sleeping Beauty. Sorry, not the Sleeping Beauty. The Beauty and the Beast, fairy tale. It's just one of my favourite fairy tales. Yeah. I think that's why.
Okay.
I like Belle.
Well, I'd have to see a full list to make my proper decision, but but that's good that you're
when Evie's older. You don't worry. You'll be down pat with all of those Disney princesses.
Well, yeah, that's the thing you don't really get with boys so much.
No.
He's right into Transformers at the moment. The old school cartoon Transformers.
Oh, we forgot Into the Woods, mixing all that fairy tales together. Yep. And I have never seen the original, but I loved Into the Woods. Some of the songs were great.
Yeah, they are. They're very catchy. They'll get stuck in your head. I've been a long time fan of Into the Woods because my grandmother had a copy of the Broadway production on a VHS tape. Every time we went over there, we used to watch it, but only the first act, because that's when all the happy stuff happens.
And
the second act we didn't watch so much because my sister was only little and it was a bit scary and people died and all that sort of thing. So and the first half's when all the big numbers are, like,
I love
Cinderella.
I love the two princes. I'm sorry,
and the princes.
Just hilarious. I could not stop laughing.
Yeah,
that was just so well done.
Well, I haven't seen the film yet, and I really want to. But
you need to see that film. I
and you
know
should try
how.
And see the original Broadway production if you can.
I'm trying. I'm not sure I am how, trying yeah. to find a copy of it. I should just go on YouTube. There's
different.
Probably clips of it on YouTube. I don't know.
Yeah, probably.
Mm.
Okay, I'll get to see it at some point. And then we can talk about it.
Oh, sorry, and I forgot to mention Cinderella has Rod Stark as the handsome Prince
Rob
Charming.
Stark,
like.
Yeah.
And he won't die in this version of it. Like, that's got to be worthwhile.
Yep. As long as it doesn't have Ned Stark. What's his name?
As long as Joffrey's not in there. He'll never get another role ever again.
I think he'll be able to work again.
He just did that role too well.
Everyone will hate him too much. Unless he's another villain.
He just did that role too well. He's going to have to age and really change. Yeah. Dye his hair brown. And yeah. So are there any other fairy tale things that you had?
Well, I know you wanted to talk about some
That's right. So this is not all fairy tale related, but I found a couple of resources that I have just loved for children to do with stories. So I thought I would mention these in case anybody else has young kids.
Mm-hmm.
So the first being, and maybe this is advertised in America, I'm not too sure, but I had never heard of it before, but it's storyonline.com, I believe, which is the Screen Actors Guild website, and basically different actors, very well-known actors, read their, like, one of their favorite kids' storybooks out loud, and you can watch them reading it, and as much as it's them reading it with their brilliant actor voices and everything, they actually do some animation and things through the reading as well, so it's quite entertaining to watch. And a couple of these stories I've never heard of. Like, they're not actually big books in Australia, that's for sure. But they could be very popular kids' books in America. I'm not too sure. But we've found a few that we've really loved. So there's one called The Library Lion. And if you haven't read that story, it is just a really sweet story. I don't know what about it I love so much, but I could listen to that story every night. And as far as I'm concerned, as a parent, because your kids do make you read stories over and over again, that is a sign of a timeless book, when you can read it every night and not think, oh God, please don't make me read that book again. So I will put a link to that one. There's also another one which is read by Elijah Wood that we both quite like. And I think it's got a Japanese author. It's not a very traditionally American/Australian type kids book, but it's quite good. And I think it's called Me and My Cat.
Right, okay.
And there's a witch that's in this too. It's quite a good little story. And it's funny seeing Elijah Wood, who I don't actually think has any kids, reading a child's book. I don't know. There was something about it that seemed funny.
He's 25 or something, isn't he?
Might be 30. Okay. I would have thought. I don't know. Don't know. And then the other website that we found recently, because I found that letting her watch these was perhaps a little bit overstimulating at bedtime. Yeah. So in my bid to find something a little less stimulating, I found this great website / podcast for audio copies of children's books. And it's all completely free. And there are millions of them up there. And that's called Story Nori. And they've got all the fairy tales, and you can even like find out, you can search for Hans Christian Andersen fairy tales versus Brothers Grimm fairy tales. Oh. And it's got all the like Greek and Roman myths, like of the Minotaur and everything, and other traditional stories as well. It's really good. I love it. So that's what we're generally doing at night now. The only thing I would say is some of these fairy tales in their traditional forms are perhaps a little bit gruesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do tend to be.
Yeah, like we listened to the 12 Swans. Oh, that's a bit gruesome. And that's, yeah. I have to admit, I was falling asleep in part of it too. But I think the sister's trying to save her 12 Swan brothers from death. They've put this curse on them, and she's got to knit them all sweaters. And if she doesn't get them all knitted in time, then she's going to be put to death type thing, because there'll be no proof. Yeah. Yes, they're quite gruesome. So anyway, just maybe be a little bit careful, considering the fairy tales aren't necessarily the Disney versions of these fairy tales. But there's lots of other kids' books on there too.
Cool.
Definitely, I think, though, worth a listen to, considering it's completely free. It's great.
Yeah, that's excellent. I have to go and look at that. Yes. Actually, speaking of websites, this is not necessarily related to stories, but we've been doing a free trial of the Reading Eggs website.
Oh yes,
which is an ABC thing. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether they have it in other countries. I'm assuming they have similar things, but basically it's a set of games or little how would you describe them?
It's learning to read. Games. That's really what it is. Using phonics, isn't it?
Yeah, so each level has a different group of letters that you're learning the phonics for. So you and learn like duh, and you have to click on the duh out of this like few different letters and that kind of thing, and fun little games, and it's got songs in it and little books that you sort of flick through, and Matthew loves it. He wants to play it every day, which is fantastic. And he's actually learning to read some
words.
That's
really good,
because and when he gets to the end of each level, it sends me an email to tell me how he's going. Mm-hmm. Which is great. And then I looked at the email and
I thought... You might have to pay for this. You know that they have specials like every... If you don't sign up straight away, they will just keep sending you specials like every week.
Oh, and
eventually you'll get a good one, which will give you 6 months free. That's the one to look for.
Well, it depends how desperate he is to play it after a whole month of playing it. But I did actually... He had in one of those emails, it said that he can now read this word, and sentences like this. Did the cat see the rat or something? And I said to him, what does this say? And he goes... Did the cat? He's actually reading it without me saying it to him. So I was extremely impressed. He's not quite four yet, and he's already he knows all the letters really well and what the letters say most of the time. But now he's actually starting to recognise that when you put the sounds together, they make words, which is really important in learning to read.
I've read some really good academic papers recently on reading, because the current method that teachers have been taught is to keep reading to kids and they will pick it up naturally. But they're showing now that using phonics is actually a much, much smarter way, a more logical structured way for children to...
what words say rather than just learning them.
And kids that learn from phonics will end up, like if they were behind at the beginning, they will take over based on the natural learning, because it's just the English language is not a very simple language to learn.
No.
So my problem is Caitlin wouldn't get into Reading Eggs. I really tried. She loved the Math Seeds version of it. I think my daughter is very math science oriented.
Okay.
All about measuring, maps, numbers. Not quite interested in the letters. Though she likes a good story, she's not that keen on the...
That's good.
I know that will change at some point, but I'm trying to encourage the love of numbers
because girls lose it. How long since you tried it? Because sometimes...
ages. It's been a good 5-6 months.
Yeah,
and so I've redone it, though, and then she's not gotten... But, like, I think because we don't have an iPad or anything, I think.
Well, Maddie's just doing it on the computer.
Okay, and he's wanting to. See, she just wants to play the maths one, the acorn one is what she calls it, because it's got that seed.
Okay.
Anyway, we will see.
Yeah, so... I don't know, the actual website is like an app that comes off the ABC website, I think, but Reading Eggs.
It's got a
.org. I'll have to look up the actual thing and put it on the post. Yeah. But I recommend it to try it out with your little ones. Mm.
Especially if you get a 4-week trial.
Yeah, well, I think the four-week trial thing was going until the end of March, I think.
They do them all the time.
Yeah, so, yeah. Okay, have a look at it. We'd better talk about what we've been reading then.
Yes, okay.
What have you been reading?
I feel like I've been doing a lot of reading, but I really haven't. I really got stuck on Monstrous. I really procrastinated. Like, seriously, this is how much I procrastinated reading. I had all day to myself yesterday, which doesn't happen very often. And I was like, great, I'm going to read Monstrous. I went home and I procrastinated and I cleaned. Like, I don't like cleaning. I'm not a cleaning person. I spring cleaned. Yeah, so this is, Anyway, so apart from my reading Monstrous, I read Tear You Apart by Sarah Cross, which I loved, and I read that really quickly. And I also, I was reading at our last podcast, and I finished it now, and Brashear's The Here and Now, which was a time travel book. Now, it copped a bit of flack on Goodreads. I really quite liked it. Did I think it was perfect? No. But did I find it enjoyable? Yes, I thought it was a really well done time travel novel.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting because it kind of gets a bit into the grandfather paradox of time travel a little bit. But anyway, I won't say too much about it. But if you like a time travel novel, you don't mind a bit of romance and you don't mind a bit of a dystopian bent towards it, I think it's worth read.
Forwards or backwards in time?
She's from the future and she's travelled, and a group of them have travelled and set up back in the past, in like today, because the future's a pretty bad place, and they're meant to be, without killing the timeline, they're meant to be altering the future to try and stop that. But anyway, it gets a little bit more complicated, and there are multiple versions of the future that you kind of see come into play. It's very interesting, and there's like this big pivotal moment that is a very, it's good. I really liked it. I don't quite get why. I think the romance angle some people didn't like. I actually thought it was quite well done.
Yeah.
So anyway, obviously what works for one person doesn't work for another. I suggest trying it.
Yep.
So that's what I've been reading. What about you? What have you read?
Well, I've read a fair bit this week because I've had sick children and so on. I haven't had a lot of time for writing any reviews, but now I'm way behind because I've been reading so much.
Mm-hmm.
So I read Monstrous, obviously. I read Jinx's Magic by Sage Blackwood, which is the second book in a middle grade series. I read Jinx probably a couple of years ago now and really enjoyed it. It's like a little boy who has gone to live with this evil wizard in this huge forest. And he finds out he's learning to do magic as well, but it's actually quite a complicated story, but told in a very sort of way that children can understand. Mm-hmm. But it's got sort of more adult concepts behind the children's story.
Yep.
So I took out probably more out of it than like a, say, a 12-year-old would if they're reading it. And this second book is great, like just like the first one. I really enjoyed it. And the third one is called Jinx's Fire. It's actually about to come out at the end of Feb, I think, maybe during March. So I'll be reading that one soon as well. So I recommend that series, really good stuff. I also got a copy of Eat the Sky, Drink the Ocean. It does have a beautiful cover. I've got like an actual...
I just thought for a piece of art, on a wall. That's quite pretty.
It's written by, it's a group of, a bunch of short stories and graphic, what do you call them, like cartoon type stories, written by Australian and Indian authors.
Okay.
So it's, some of them are jointly written, others are just individuals writing stories, and they're all, the theme basically is women and girls doing things that they wouldn't normally do. So it is a bit feminist, but it's not like in your face kind of girls can do anything like feminism. But it's really, some of them are really creepy stories, kind of scary. They're all quite short. They're all obviously short stories, but only a few pages long, a lot of them. And Yeah, really worth a read. And they're all speculative, I should say. They're all either sci-fi, like futuristic, yep, dystopian ones, or sort of proper fantasy.
And all I can say is Isabel Carmody is one of those authors. And can you please release the last book of the Urban Newton series?
Yeah, stop
writing
this other stuff. No, there's a lot of great Australian authors in the list. So Kirsty Murray wrote The Four Seasons of Lucy Mackenzie, which I read sometime last year, maybe, which was a great little Aussie kind of travel to alternate. No, it was time travel, actually, in the bush, like near, yep, Sydney kind of thing. It was really great. Really enjoyed that. But Kate Constable is one of the other ones, Nikki Greenberg. So they're and the Indian authors who are part of it, I haven't actually heard of any of them, but apparently they're quite well-known authors over there too. Yep. So, and all of the stories are extremely well written, obviously, but some of them more memorable than others, but yeah, worth a read. So that's come out late last year, and
you have been doing a lot of reading.
I have. Well, that book was only about 200 pages long. It's not a very long book, so none of these books are particularly long ones. Okay. So yeah, I just sort of punched them out there.
The next one's fairly long.
Yeah, Serafina. I had to read Serafina before I read the second book, Shadow Scale, because it's been 3 years. It was out in 2012. It was one of the first books that I reviewed as well.
Like I reviewed that one too.
Getting into NetGalley and that. And I loved it back then, because it's about dragons and music.
Your two favorite things.
Like, Serafina is a half dragon, and she is the flute composer. She does play the flute, but also the oud, which is like a oud or whatever you say. Like a lute type thing.
Yep.
And she's like the assistant composer to the court and whatever. And, it's just amazing. So I had to read it again because I remembered how much I loved it. And I loved it even more the second time. It was just brilliant. I love it. So I read it all in, 2 days.
So you can skim it the second time, because I think I'm going to have to read it again. And I just...
Well, actually, once I got to the end of it, I thought, that's it, I'm going to have to read Shadow Scale right now. So I've actually already started.
Okay.
At the start of Shadow Scale, there is a synopsis of the first book. So you don't have to read it again. It is a really actually quite detailed synopsis.
Once you've read a bit more, you tell me if you think I could get away with not reading it. Because you know when sometimes you think you can get away with it and then you really regret it, because I've always felt that with the Julie Kagawa
books. Yeah, you can never really remember what actually happened. No, I do think that it has a great synopsis at the start of Shadow Scale that describes really well the events, in detail, actually, very detailed.
Yeah.
So I was reading it going, so I didn't actually need to read the first one again, but I'm glad I did because I really enjoyed it. So I think Shadow Scale is coming out in March. Mm. Is that right?
I think I've got a bit of time. Oh, maybe not too much. We're nearly in March. Yeah, this year is going fast.
It is. It's like past the middle of Feb now. And I do have a copy of Ferris, to which I would like to read.
See, this is what I mean. If I could choose between reading Ferris or having to reread Serafina, not that I didn't like Serafina, but there are so many good new books to read.
I know. Rereading is a really a big commitment, really, because
when
you're
a book blogger, it becomes a huge commitment. Ironically, prior to being a book blogger, I used to reread books all the time.
Yeah, me too.
No, I never
do. Serafina is the first book I've properly reread in a long time, because I've reread bits of other books, just the ending of whatever, the previous books and stuff, but this one I actually read the whole thing again. But it was long enough that I didn't feel like I needed to skip bits because I knew it was coming.
Okay.
So, because it's been 3 years.
That's a while, yeah. I can't really remember the storyline. I was hoping if I reread my review, it would remind me.
Yeah, maybe. I don't often write much story detail in reviews.
I was, especially when I started. Not to say that I've gone downhill, but I've maybe got a bit more of a relaxed tone about my reviews now compared to where I began.
Yeah, well, now they're so relaxed,
they're not even appearing. No.
Only joking, whatever.
If only you were only joking.
So the other one that I've got on my list that I really need to have a look at is Neil Gaiman's latest short story collection, which is called Trigger Warning. I'm not sure if I actually want to read all of these books because stories, because they apparently are
trigger content,
triggerish. So maybe I
might avoid that.
Apparently,
book.
There's a sort of foreword that actually says what each story is relating to, so you can avoid them if you want to.
Specifically, it's a real trigger topic for you. Okay.
I'm not so sure about this anymore. But when I saw it on the list, I thought, well, that sounds really interesting. So
okay.
I've got a copy anyway. I'll have a look at it. I may not read all of it. We'll see. And I still have A Dance with Dragons on my list because I want to read it soon.
Well,
I'm determined.
Season 4 is coming out on DVD like any day now. And yeah. April is generally when the new season comes out.
Yeah.
Mm.
When's, speaking of TV, when is Outlander coming back?
I think it's April as well for us Aussies. Right. Oh, yeah. And have you watched, sorry, talking about music and TV shows, Music in the Jungle, I'm just going to mention
Music Hooked. In the Jungle.
Sorry, Mozart in the Jungle, about music, is just great. I'm loving it.
No, I haven't watched any of it yet.
I give Amazon a big thumbs up, considering I didn't think they'd actually be able to do this sort of production value stuff very well. It's really good.
Okay.
It's based on a memoir about the New York Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, okay.
Basically being no different to no different to rock and roll, and the fact that it's all sex and drugs.
Oh, okay. Sounds interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very good. It's like Sex and the City and Frasier sort of thing. It's got that sort of highbrow, New York feel about it, but it's got music. I love it. Anyway, that was a side topic. What have I got coming up? Okay, I am now behind officially in my reviews. If only I could still be really far ahead. I'm not. I still haven't read Seeker by Arwen Elise Dayton.
Mm-hmm.
So that's... I've got to make the decision if I'm going to keep going with Monstrous soon. That's probably next up. And then I've also got Soul Print by Megan Miranda, both these books sound fantastic. So, yeah, I do want to read them. And I still really want to read Fairest, except it's on a review book. So I don't feel any pressure. So it keeps getting pushed back.
I've picked up a couple of non-review books lately, actually, that I really like. This Rivers of London and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Really need to stop doing that.
Anyway. I don't even look at the library for books for me.
Yeah. Well, I hear of books from other people or, you know, podcasts or whatever.
Yep.
And I go, oh, I should read that. And then I look it up on the library website and go, oh, they've got a copy. And I have just discovered, actually, if you're in Brisbane or possibly other libraries around the country, I'm not sure, Brisbane City Council Library have now got a really large collection of ebooks available on their website.
I know.
Oh, well.
But I'm just going to say, Melina Marchetta, Australian author, very popular Australian author. Do you think they had Finnegan on the Rock?
No,
they didn't. They and I checked every single one.
Yeah, they don't have a lot of. Okay, when I say they have a wide variety, they do have a lot, but it's not everything.
No, but this is a big Australian author. I had a lot of problems with that. Anyway, you thankfully gave me a copy.
Well, that's how I got Jinx's Magic, because I looked it up and went, you're only allowed to borrow it for 2 weeks, and you have to download their Adobe software to read it.
You can't do it with Kindle.
Take the DRM off, but I didn't want to bother doing that. I just read it on my phone, which I...
I think we've started to ramble.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's okay, everybody.
We can do that. I just wanted to... I forgot to mention... Okay, Philly just seen it and she's gone crazy. We forgot to mention before that Sarah J. Maas is coming to Australia.
And more importantly, she's actually coming to Brisbane.
Yeah.
As a first and foremost thing, not to Sydney, not to Melbourne.
She's going to all those places.
Well, of course she's going to, but the original thing she's booked to do is for...
Supernova,
which is Brisbane and Adelaide, because Sydney and Melbourne will have been... And she looks excited to be coming.
She does, yeah.
I've never been to Supernova. I'm going to go. Providing tickets aren't like $300, which Mark tried to tell me the tickets were going to be like $300.
They are if you want to meet her and get the all the... Well, we'll meet her anyway because she'll be sitting there giving... all the authors who are there, they just sit there in the book stand thing and you just go up to them and get them to sign your book. It's very easy. It's not like proper celebrities where you have to pay $50 to get an autograph.
Awesome.
And I think my ticket... For the one that's just been in November was $30, something like that, $25,
$30. I can pay that.
So it's worth it just for the sheer sort of massive geekiness of the whole thing. And you can see all people dressed up in their outfits. And
I'm not doing that. Sorry, I'm already decided. I thought
we could go as some kind of,
maybe we could go as our fairy tale characters.
Oh, anyway, it's not till November.
You want to go as Selena?
Oh man, get some samurai swords.
All you have to do is like get like Assassin's Creed type kind of cosplay thing going on. Get your swords on your
back. Anyway, I need a lot more alcohol to agree to that. If we do dress up, we'll put a photo, maybe.
Yeah.
If we have enough. Yeah, cool. Maybe, maybe
but
not.
But anyway, it's worth it because once you go once and you see everyone dressed up, you're like, oh, I want to do that.
So what, if you don't dress up, do you feel really
out of place? No.
Okay, good.
But there are a lot of people who do.
Okay.
It seems to be a thing that you mostly do in groups. Because people do go on their own dressed up, but there are sort of groups of people everywhere that dress up in their specific sort of outfit thing that they want, their fandom.
Apparently, if I do end up going to BlizzCon in the US, I have to dress up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Who would you dress up out of Warcraft universe?
I would be a tree. Could I be anything else?
Oh, silly me.
You could be like a night elf druid. Yeah.
But... yeah, not necessarily a tree, just like with the long ears. And
can't I just be a tree? I feel like I'm a tree.
If you want, but that would be kind of a weird question.
Can I just say, I would have to be a tree as a direct, to directly show my defiance as a protest. Yes, for Blizzard for taking away tree form. And well, look, they did sort of give you tree form, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
It is not the same. Anyway, that is a side issue. If you play WoW as a Restoration Druid, you will understand. If you play any other class or don't play, ignore me.
I still have a tree ant on my Twitter handle thing.
I took a photo of the last day of the trees of everybody in tree form in Stormwind.
Oh.
There was a lot of us. We had a party.
So I forgot to mention earlier that Nick and Mia from Khaleesi's and Amazons podcast have left us a 5-star rating on iTunes. Woohoo! On iTunes. Thank you so much. If you want to leave us a rating and a review on iTunes, we would love that. That would be excellent. You can do that.
You can even say we ramble and we don't know what we're talking about. That's okay.
We do that all the time. all right. So this week on the blog, there may be some reviews if I get my act together, but our top 10 this week is top 10 bookish problems that we have. Yeah, so if you want to see our bookish problems, then go check out the blog this week. I'm not sure when our next episode will be because we're going to work.
Uni's back to work, and
you're going to work. All right, so if you'd like to send us any feedback or suggestions on other topics we can talk about, then you can email us at contact@teainthetreetops.com. Or you can tweet us at TTreeTops.
Of course, you can also see all of our book reviews and other bookie topics on the Tea in the Treetops blog, teainthetreetops.com. Thanks for listening and hopefully we will catch you soon.
Yep, catch you later. Bye.
I want adventure in the great white somewhere. I want it more than I can tell. It might be grand to have someone understand. I want so much more than they've got planned.